Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, I'd like to talk about living like you want to die. Are you living like you want to die? Let me explain myself. I'm not hoping that you will die. I'm not hoping that you're thinking about death all of the time in the sense that you won't live your life. You're always thinking about dying. What I'm talking about is that many people in the world have the right attitude toward dying. They want to die and go to heaven, but they don't have the right attitude toward the here and now. They have the right attitude toward the life hereafter, but they don't have the right attitude toward the here and now. And what I wish a lot of people would do is I wish they would live like they want to die. In other words, if you want to die right, then you should want to live right. A lot of times I talk with people, especially around funerals, at a funeral home, or you'll attend a funeral, or maybe they've had the passing of a loved one, and you'll talk with them about death, and they'll say, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven and be with Jesus. I want that great reward in heaven. And they talk right. They have a good attitude about dying and wanting to go to heaven. But their life in the here and now is not like they want to die. They're not heaven bound now. They're not thinking about being right now. So I would encourage you to live like you want to die. You know, Paul did that in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. He said that whether he lived or whether he died, he was going to be with Christ and serve Christ. He didn't have this attitude that right before I die, I'm going to get my life right. Right before I die, I'm going to think about going to heaven. No, he was living right and thinking about going to heaven during his life so that when he died, he would actually go there. Paul is writing Philippians from a prison. And he's very joyous. Philippians is all about joy and rejoicing. Even though Paul is in prison, he had a great attitude. But he wasn't sure whether or not he would live or die. He could not tell the future in that sense. And so he didn't know if he would die in that prison or if he would be released. He did have confidence that he would be released, but he also considered the possibility of dying in that prison. And he said, whether I live or die, I'm going to magnify Christ. Paul lived like he wanted to die. His living and his dying had the same attitude. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Notice that. Whether by life or by death. Whether he continued living, he was going to magnify Christ. Or whether he died, he would go and be with Christ. Verse 21, Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whether he was living or dying, he was going to be a faithful Christian. You see, a lot of people today have a right attitude about dying on their deathbed. They have a right attitude about dying every once in a while when they attend a funeral, but their general regular life is not the Christian life. Paul writes in Philippians 1 and verse 22, the next verse, but if to live in the flesh, this shall bring fruit from my work, then what I shall choose, I know not. But I am in a strait, a strict confined area between the two choices, having the desire to depart or die, and be with Christ, because he was living the faithful Christian life. For it is very far better. Yet, to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake. If he continued living, he could help the Philippian Christians and other brethren. But verse 20, I'm going to magnify Christ in my body, whether by life or by death. Yeah, I think a lot of people talk really good about death. They know some things about the Bible. They've heard about heaven. They've heard about Jesus Christ. And I want to go to heaven when I die. And they really talk the talk about death. but they don't walk the walk in this life here and now. And I think about Balaam, who was hired by Balak to curse Israel as they were going through the wilderness wandering. And I think about a statement that Balaam made in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. Balaam says, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." I want to die and be like the righteous man. But Balaam, we know, was a prophet of hire. He was covetous and a prophet of hire. 2 Peter 2:15, Jude 11, Revelation 2:14. And he also encouraged the Israelites to commit fornication later in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 25. So here's a man who can talk really good about dying, but he doesn't want to live in a good way. And I think there's a lot of people like that today. So I want to talk about the importance of living like you want to die. Oh, I want to die and go to heaven. Okay, let's live like we want to go to heaven. Let's act like it. Let's not just talk what's right, but let's walk what is right. Are you living like you want to die? Let's take this statement right here in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. Do you want to die the death of the righteous? Everybody says yes. But are you living the life of the righteous right now? Oh no, I don't want to do that. I just want to die like a righteous person. I don't want to live like a righteous person. I want to lie, steal, cheat, not go to church, not read my Bible, not obey the gospel. I don't want to do any of that. But when it comes time to die, oh, I want to die the death of the righteous. Well, friend, in order to die the death of the righteous, you have to live the life of the righteous. And you need to change your life. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Jesus died on the cross so that we could learn about Him and obey Him and live right in His sight. Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." That we should live soberly, we got to think right, righteously and godly in this present world. Balaam said, I want to die the death of the righteous. Well, that's great. But we have to live the life of the righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, we need to live right and act right if we want to die right. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Jesus bare His own self. He died on the cross, who His own self bare our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We have to die unto sin. We have to stop that old life. And we have to live unto righteousness. Yes, I want to die the death of the righteous. Well, what does that take? I have to live the life of the righteous. And friend, if you need to make that change and you're living in an ungodly and unrighteous life, you're doing things that are sinful and wrong according to God's Word, you need to stop that and change that and turn that around. Let us help you do that. Do you want to die the death of the righteous, but not live the life of the righteous? That's a lot of people. But don't be like that. Do you want to die unto the Lord, but not live unto the Lord? Paul talks about in Romans chapter 14, those who will die unto the Lord. They will go to their death having served the Lord and looking toward the Lord. In Romans chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, "He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth, eateth unto the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." He's talking about not eating meat. He's not talking about not eating at all. But earlier in verses 1 through 3, some people want to eat meat, some people don't. Some people want to eat vegetables only, and others do not. And it doesn't matter either way. Paul is talking about a matter of scruple or opinion, trying to unify the church there at Rome. Whether we eat or not, we're going to live unto the Lord. For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. We all have to do something with regard to Jesus. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We can't just act independently of Jesus and do whatever we want. Paul says, whether we live or whether we die, we live or die unto the Lord. If we're a Christian, he's talking about Christians. Well, I want to die and be right with the Lord. Okay, you have to live and be right with the Lord. And he goes on to talk about how to do that very thing. Verse 18, for he that herein serveth Christ is well pleasing to God and approved of men. We have to serve Christ and live unto the Lord so that we're ready to die unto the Lord. We can't just live any way we want and then right at the very end, die and go to heaven. It doesn't work like that. And it's amazing how you'll see movies and music and other kinds of media, and they all talk about, you know, live your life any way you want, but when you die, you're going to go to heaven. No, it doesn't work like that. In order to die and go to heaven, we have to live heavenly. We have to live righteously if we want to die righteously. And so that is very important. The lie of the devil is you can live any way you want, including ungodly, unrighteous living, and the moment you die, you go to heaven. That is one of the biggest lies that is being told to mankind today. And it's obvious why. Many people want to do what is right in their own eyes, but then they want the benefit of heaven when they die. It just does not work like that, friend. And so we need to live like we want to die. We all want to die and go to heaven. Okay, then let's live like it. Let's live like it. And that means changing our life right now and following God's word. Here's another one. Do you want to die and be with Jesus? Do you remember the Apostle Paul wrote there in Philippians 1 and 23, he said that if I die, I can go and be with the Lord. Do you want to die and be with Jesus? Well, everybody's going to say yes. Well, are you living with Jesus now? No, I just want to die and be with Jesus. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to live and be with Jesus now. Paul said in verse 23 that if I depart, I will be with Christ. Well, that's because while he was living, he was with Christ. He was doing what Christ wanted him to do. We already noticed that earlier in verse 20. That Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to talk like Christ. I'm going to act like Christ. I'm going to think like Christ. I'm going to be an imitator of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Yes, when he died, he was going to go be with Jesus. Because when he lived, he was with Jesus in everything he wanted him to do. I'm not talking about living with him personally. Jesus had already gone back into heaven by the time Paul is converted and comes on the scene. Jesus is not physically around, but Paul is with Jesus in following his word and preaching his gospel. I want to die and be with Jesus. Okay, are you with Jesus now by reading his word, the Bible, by praying, by coming and being with his followers, his family, by being with Jesus in the church? No, I want to be out on the lake, and I want to be out on the golf course, and I want to do whatever I want, but when I die, I want to go and be with Jesus. No, it doesn't work like that. We need to live just the same way like we want to die. And so Paul knew that. He understood that. That he wanted to die and be with Jesus. Well, what does that take? I've got to live and be with Jesus right now. And so Paul says that very thing. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. That doesn't mean that he was hanging on the cross near Jesus. Paul is using the word crucified to mean to cut out that sin and that old man and that world, to be dead to that, to be separated from that. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live. Look at it. But Christ liveth in me. That's why Paul could say, I'm going to die and be with Jesus, because when he lived, Jesus was in him. Paul writes, but Christ liveth in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God. That's how you live with Jesus now. You live in faith in the Son of God. You obey Him. You do what He says. You believe in Him. You follow Him who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Paul lived, but it wasn't him controlling it. It was Christ controlling his every move. Do you want to die and be with Jesus? Great. You've got to be with Jesus now. And that means on the first day of the week, Sundays. There's so many people that just don't go to church anymore. We talked about that last week. Do I have to go to church? I want to get up and live any way I want, any day of the week. But when I die, I want to go to heaven. It just doesn't work like that. And so we've got to straighten up our life now and live right now. Let's talk about something else. Do you want to fall asleep in Jesus? There's an expression that's used in the scripture about dying. It's called falling asleep. It's a euphemism. It's a nice way of talking about someone who's passed from this life. And Paul talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He's talking about those who fall asleep in Jesus. In other words, Christians who die faithfully. Paul writes, but we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep. He's talking about death. That you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How do you fall asleep in Jesus? That means you die as a faithful Christian, as a faithful follower. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching the gospel and the people didn't like it and the Jews there stoned him to death, the text says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60 that he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Not in the way we think of it as going to bed at night, but it's a euphemism for dying. He fell asleep. But how did he die? He fell asleep in Jesus. He was a faithful martyr. He was a faithful follower of Christ, and he was preaching God's word and died doing that. If we want to fall asleep in Jesus, then we have to live while we're awake, and we have to live faithfully in Jesus. Look about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 that I read earlier. Paul talks about those who fall asleep in Jesus. Now come down with me a few verses to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, talking about the judgment day when Jesus comes again. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that aught be written unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Jesus is not going to announce himself ahead of time. It will be a sudden, unexpected return. There's all kinds of TV evangelists and other people today, people who write books, and they have all the signs of his coming. They misinterpret Matthew chapter 24, which has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And they apply all that to Jesus coming at the end of time. And they say, we're going to know when Jesus comes. No. He's going to come as a thief in the night. A thief does not announce their presence. They don't tell you ahead of time when they're going to break in and that type of thing. That's how the Lord's going to come. Verse 3, when they are saying peace and safety, the they are the people out in the world, people who aren't ready. Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day, the second coming of Christ, should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. Now Paul uses sleep in a different way here. That is spiritual sleep. They don't want to wake up and obey. They just want to go about their worldly life, and they're fine with that. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, he's talking about Christians, since we are of the day, someone who's awake and sober spiritually, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not unto wrath. God doesn't want us to go to hell. He will send us there if we're disobedient, but that's not what he wants. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're living or dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as also you do. We have to live as we are sober in the day, putting on the breastplate that protects us spiritually, faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. We have to be saved by obeying the gospel. We have to put on faith and love and live right. Yes, if we want to fall asleep in Jesus, we need to live awake in Jesus and serving him and following him. Let me ask you another question. Do you want to die in faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 talks about those Old Testament characters who died in faith. Literally, that means they died according to faith. They died in a faithful way. They died according to the way faith dictates. They died following God's word. These all died in faith, Hebrews 11, 13. Well, that's what I want. I want to die in faith. Okay. If you want to die in faith, you have to live in faith right now. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what kind of faith is. It's not faith only. It's not just some mental thought about, I love Jesus and accept him as my personal Savior, and that's enough to go to heaven. None of that is in the scripture. Back up to verse 4, the whole chapter is about faith. And if you back up to verse 4, it illustrates what faith is, and each time there is a verb that shows the person did what God wanted him to do. Faith is not faith only, or just some mental thought. You've got to get up and do what God wants you to do. By faith, Abel offered, that's a verb, unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And then later, he had been well-pleasing unto God. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. By faith, Noah, being moved with godly fear, prepared, that's a verb, prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto the place. Faith is belief in action, always. The Bible talks about a dead faith in James chapter 2. Little faith. Weak faith. But Bible faith is belief in action. Conviction in action, always. And so, well, I want to die in faith, Hebrews 11, 13, just like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. These all died in faith. I want to be like them. Well, what did they do? While they were living, they obeyed the Lord's word. And so, we need to live like we want to die. We need to have the same attitude about living that we have about dying. And that is a very important principle, because as I said earlier, there's so many people who talk right about death, but they don't talk right about life. When it comes to life, it's, I want to live any way I want. But when you question them about death, oh yeah, I want to obey Jesus and I want to go be with Jesus and I want to be in heaven. Well, you're not living like it now. You're not acting like it now. One other question. Do you want to die in the Lord? That means die in a faithful relationship with the Lord. John talks about in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. These are Christians who died at the end of the first century under Roman persecution, and all faithful Christians who have died since. They die in the Lord, and they die and they go to be with Him in heaven. But look at the rest of the verse. They rest, heaven is a place of rest, but they rest from their labors. They labored for the Lord. They served the Lord. They were a faithful Christian. And when they died, they rested from their labors. People today want the rest of heaven, but they don't want the labor of this life. Paul talks about a labor of love, a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. A labor. Oh, no. I don't want to go to the church assembly. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to do good works. I don't want to serve others. I don't want to pray. I don't want to come and take the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. I don't want to do any of that. I just want the rest without the labor. Well, that's like my children, friends. My children want the rest without the work. Can I have an allowance? I don't want to do any work for it. I want the allowance. No, you got to work first before you get your allowance. And you want to come in and sit on the couch and watch some TV and take a break? Great, but you got to do the work first. And we live in a society where everybody wants the rest, but they don't want the work first. It doesn't work like that with God. It's labor first and then rest. That's patterned after the creation day. God worked for 7 days and rested on the seventh day. That's a pattern for the work week. And the old covenant, the Jews were to work for 6 days and rest on the Sabbath day. And it's a pattern for heaven. You labor in this life. You work now. And then you get the rest. Do you want to die and be with the Lord and be at rest? Then you have to live and labor for the Lord right now. In the same chapter, in Revelation chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, we find that the people in heaven are those who are pure. And look at verse 4. They followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They obeyed the Lord. That's why when they died, there was no blemish. Verse 5. That's why when they died, they went to be with Jesus. And look at the verse right before verse 13, Revelation 14:12. They that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They keep the commandments. That's why when they die, they go and be with the Lord. Friends, I want you to live like you want to die. I think you want to die right, but you have to live right. We all have the right concept about death often, but we don't have the right concept about life. If we can encourage you to get your life right with the Lord, if we can assist you, if we can study with you, please contact us. Please let us help you to do that. Live like you really want to die. Thank you for your kind attention this morning, and have a good day.